So just say a few words about the quality of forgiveness. Also, this last week we've been having a group retreat with Dhamma teachings every night, so I'll try to keep this brief out of compassion. I don't predict that I will succeed, but I will do my best. So this little ceremony of asking for forgiveness, just as today is the Pavarana day, the full moon of October, the ending of the rains retreat, the Pavarana ceremony, which we have had this morning, is the invitation for accepting the feedback from our fellow members of the community to be receiving, ready to receive any kind of guidance or reflections that others might offer about our actions and our speech, our conduct. And then the partner to Pavarana, to that invitation for feedback, is then forgiveness. So that just as we are ready to accept our own faults and to learn from those, the other part of that is being ready to forgive the faults of others and to not bear a grudge. So the opposite of forgiveness is to hold a grudge, patika in Pali. And that is a state of mind probably all of us are familiar with, carrying around resentments, negativity, fixed opinions about each other. This person is like this, that person is like that. And so this is a burden to the heart. And just as the Buddha was a person who was extraordinarily wise in transcendent dhammas, he was also extraordinarily skilled and knowledgeable and astute in the worldly dhammas and how people can learn to get along with each other and live successfully and harmoniously with each other. He was a great reader of human character and understanding of human nature. So as we part company, and some of us will be leaving here for good from tomorrow, and so that leaving the community and leaving Amravati to travel on to different places, we all spent this time in each other's company. So as a way of clearing the slate, along with that invitation for feedback, there's also the sense of clearing the slate in terms of I'm not going to carry anything around in a negative or critical way about anybody. So this is an extremely important principle, and even though we have this formulaic way of expressing it, we have this acharye pamadena, I ask for forgiveness from the teacher. It can be just the recitation of a Pali formula, but it's also intended to be a genuine, change of heart, or a genuine arousing of an attitude within the heart. And so that there's at least the arousing of the intention to forgive and to forget. The human habit is not to forgive, but to nurse our grudges, to carry around our biases, our criticisms. And when somebody has done something that's hurt us or annoyed us, then we tend to seek revenge or at least find opportunities to complain and criticize and to express that negativity. But that harms both the other person and also harms ourselves. So the Buddha strongly encouraged this quality of forgiveness, of learning to let go. And particularly when we part company, to leave on a basis of mutual respect and mutual kindness, just not carrying anything around. This is a great blessing for ourselves and for others. So with this ceremony, asking for forgiveness, then there's a response that the teacher always makes, Ahang kamami tu mehi pime kimitabang. I forgive you, and please forgive me also, because I'm absolutely certain there are things that I have said and done that have been offensive, painful, irritating, talking too much. Or even the things that I've said or done that have been painful or difficult. So it's a part of the teacher's role to also acknowledge their own shortcomings and to accept, ask for forgiveness of that in turn. Now we do have this capacity to forgive and to let go. And even though our conditioning might be to hang on to grudges and opinions, that even when something really bad has been done to us, we really have been treated poorly, we have been treated with malice, and somebody actually does wish ill towards us. And then we can feel reasonable to resent and to blame, to criticize the other. But even then, even when we have good reason to feel negative, it's still harming ourselves and harming the other. And I always feel that within the chant that we do, the sharing of blessings, there is contained an extraordinarily beautiful and powerful principle in that, where it says, to those who are friendly, indifferent, or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life, may they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. So even those who have done us harm, even those who are malicious, cruel, hurtful, selfish, destructive, even those people and those beings, we choose to share the blessings of our life. We share the good karma that we have with even those who wish us harm. Now, the mind state that wants to resent or to blame or wants revenge is based on the feeling of they've done harm, they've done wrong, they shouldn't get away with that, they should be punished. We should punish the wrongdoer, punish the evildoer. And we think that if we just forgive or don't do anything, then our honor won't be respected, and they'll have just got away with some kind of selfish or evil, unwholesome act. They should be punished. But if we hold on to that attitude, then again we harm ourselves as well as harming the other. So rather than blaming or cultivating negativity to those who have done harm or done wrong or fallen short of our expectations, rather than adding more negativity into the mix, we share the blessings of our life, because we realize that more negativity is only going to make it worse. And that when we express love and kindness, forgiveness towards others, it doesn't mean that we are condoning their actions. It's not meaning that we're saying, I'm really glad that you're so nasty to me. I'm really glad that you're such a selfish, greedy person. We're not saying that. We're more recognizing that I see some shortcomings within you, but also I'm choosing not to contend against you, and I'm choosing not to develop negativity towards you. And that making that distinction, teasing apart both the affection or the acceptance of the being on the one hand, and recognizing the unwholesomeness of their actions on the other. When we separate those out, we realize that we can love someone completely and with sincerity, but still disagree with their actions. To recognize, yeah, that was really unwholesome, that was hurtful, that was harmful. But we're not going to cultivate negativity or hatred towards the being on account of that. So when we allow those two things to be separated, then with great sincerity we can forgive, we can have affection and respect for another being without ignoring the unwholesome qualities of their action. That's seen, that's known, that's recognized, but without being a cause for more hatred and division. So this, I find, is a very helpful and important distinction to make within ourselves, both for our own benefit and for the benefit of others. And it really enables us to let things go, to not carry around grudges. And when we do that, when we are able to forgive and forget, then there's a great peacefulness there. There's a great delight. Maybe it's not a particularly relevant story, but just a brief example that a friend of ours who was half Swiss and half Thai, her mother and her father, mother was Swiss, her father's Thai, and they were only together for a couple of years, and her father took off. So she grew up in Switzerland, and her mother this is a story she's told herself several times, her mother was very bigoted and critical and negative kind of a character. So this friend of ours grew up with her mother freely making all sorts of racist comments about how awful foreigners were. And here she was, little Asian girl, hanging onto her mother's hand, hearing all these negative, critical, nasty comments about foreigners. And she thought, hang on a minute, I'm a foreigner too. And so all her life she had to bear with being around her mother, who had this sort of critical, negative, caustic manner. And so it was always a trial, and she eventually ended up living overseas and just visiting her mother from time to time. Well, in her old age, then her mother, and not that I'm extolling the virtues of dementia, but her mother's mind completely fell to pieces. She got serious dementia as she got older. And when this friend of ours who was trained as a nurse went to go and look after her, she said it was the most wonderful 2 years of her life, because the mother had forgotten that she was so negative and critical about, you know, all these other aspects of the world. She just couldn't remember the things that she was biased against, or that the different groups of people that she was she disliked and hated. It wasn't there. And that she said that for all her life, her mother had been this very difficult and a negative, cantankerous person. So the last 2 years of her life, when she was looking after her, she was like this. It was like a kind of sweet kind of friendship between sisters. She said it was most delightful, wonderful experience, because her mother had forgotten all the things that she had been carrying around for the previous 60 or 70 years, and she would just meet each moment, each person, with a really fresh eye. Now, I'm not, as I'm saying, I'm not proposing dementia as a solution to our problems. But it did stick in my mind, it's a really good example, is when you forget that it's a problem, when you forget that this person has got something wrong with them, then they really sit in the mind in a different way. So I would encourage this asking for forgiveness and a way of parting company with each other, to just see how our problems with each other, the tense relationships, to recognize that tension, that difficulty is only there when you remember about it. When you don't remember it, when you don't carry it around, it is not there. So just to bear that in mind, and to be also inclining the heart towards that quality of forgiveness, of letting go, and of dropping this kind of critical grudges. And when we do that, then we are practicing what's called abhaya dana. The word for forgiveness in Thai is apai, which comes from the Pali abhaya, which literally means fearless. So when people would visit, Thai people would come to Abhayagiri Monastery in California, they'd think it meant forgiveness mountain. I say, no, it means fearless mountain. They go, oh, really? But so you might wonder, well, what's the relationship between forgiveness and fearlessness? Well, if I'm not carrying a grudge around about you, then you don't have to be afraid of me. That I'm not cultivating any kind of negative or critical feeling towards anyone, so therefore there's nothing to be afraid of. So that's why when we are ready to forgive, then we are offering fearlessness, just as when we keep the precepts, when we practice Sila Dhamma, again, it's providing an environment of fearlessness, of freedom from danger. And this is a very beautiful thing, when we don't carry grudges around, when we are ready to let go of our opinions and judgments of others, then we create a zone of safety, a zone of sanctuary around us, and we offer that to others. And that is really a giving. A forgiving is a generosity. Abhaya dana is one of the most beautiful and lovely kinds of things that we can give. So on that note, in terms of giving, I will give you the rest of the evening to practice. People are welcome to stay here in the temple to meditate for the rest of the evening, and there'll be a little closing chant at midnight, since this is our full moon vigil. Those of you who would prefer to practice on your own, or to go to your places and to rest, then that's quite okay too. But I will finish my words there, and maybe we could close with the sharing of blessings.
Now let us chant the verses of sharing.